got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's what do you call it, Kramer? The billiard room. No.
The billiard?
Not billiards. It was... Come on, Rick. What? Come on. We call it the place to be.
The place to be, yes.
It's the place to be. Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can...
Time to play the game!
Well, you always left me satisfied and smiling, so...
That's what she said.
Why do I want this?
Yeah.
Because I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it is now time for the Place to Be podcast. And now your hosts, Justin Rosero and Scott Criscolo.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to another great episode of the Place to Be podcast. I am your co-host, Justin Rosero, coming at you on this wonderful Monday night. And as always, the man with me, who 95 years ago, last week, was in attendance for the Ed Stringer Lewis, Joe Stecher 5-hour draw for the World Championship. And that is my PIC, Scott Criscolo.
And I'll tell you something, it was very hard for us to get up to get popcorn during the 90-minute headlocks, but I'll tell you something, the crowd was riveted, the midgets, the bearded ladies, it was an incredible experience, I have to say. I wish I had film, but I was going to say the tachometer, but I don't remember what the old chronograph or whatever, you know, disintegrated in my attic, so you'll never have no footage of it, but...
It was really quite the match to attend, honestly. I mean,
it was incredible. It was incredible. You know, there were sword swallowing women and midgets and all.
But no,
in
all seriousness, though, imagine being there, like watching a match for 5 hours.
Oh my god!
Draw between those two. I mean, it must have just been like endless headlocks and shit.
And you know what's better? What would be better than midgets watching wrestling is what?
Midgets playing basketball. You son of a bitch.
Speaking of, you know, we've been talking, we've been goofing with some of our. Loyal listeners here on the Place to Be podcast about you know, toning down our language, and of course our producer Derek LaRue actually has to put the vulgar version of CeeLo's song in our intro. He couldn't even do the G-rated version, but that's all right. It's good to talk to you as always, Mr. Rosero. Welcome everyone to another Place to Be podcast tonight. This is actually a surprise.
Yes,
this is actually a surprise special gift for our fans, because we're only going to do one this week. Mr. Rosero was originally indisposed this evening, so we were going to do our normal Vintage Vault later in the week, but he said he was around tonight, so we figured, what the heck, we might as well treat our loyal listeners to an extra podcast tonight. So tonight, what we're going to do is, it is the halfway point, officially, of the calendar year 2011 in everything, sports, wrestling, everything, really. But tonight, we will focus on professional wrestling, the halfway point, the first 6 months. And we'll talk about which promotion did the best so far, the best wrestler, who was the best tag team, pay-per-view, match, all sorts of topics. And how do the next 6 months look between now and New Year's Day 2012?
And now, as always,
who steps up?
We will qualify that. Scott and I obviously know more, follow more of WWE. Mm-hmm. TNA, cursory following. Ring of Honor, we've been trying to follow a little bit more. You know, obviously, we don't really pay too much attention to many other indies or Japan. So, you know, the majority focus of this podcast will be WWE with some TNA thrown in as well. So,
right. Exactly. So there'll be a lot of stuff to talk about. And we may, if we have time, we may do a little half season preview of Major League Baseball. This is kind of a pseudo, not really a headline show, but kind of a mishmash half year review, and if we have enough time, depending how long we go with the wrestling portion, maybe Justin and I will tap into the first half of the Major League Baseball season. Of course, they are in the All-Star break, All-Star weekend, not really All-Star week, I guess, out at Chase Field in Phoenix, home of the Diamondbacks. What do you think of the jerseys this year? You've been watching the Home Run Derby. What do you think? I don't know if you're like me. I'm always cool. I always like the All-Star jerseys every year I try to see, because for those that don't know, the teams that host the All-Star game, they kind of incorporate the jerseys based on their colors, the fonts of their letters, that kind of thing. Obviously, this year, the Arizona Diamondbacks are hosting, so the jerseys have a very black and like brick-colored desert feel. You've been watching the Home Run Derby. What do you think of them this year? Do you like them?
Yeah, I guess I don't really have much of a comment either way. Okay. I wasn't offended by them, we'll put it that way.
All right, that's fine.
I thought Aaron Andrews looked good in hers for the Celebrity Softball.
Yes, of course. Your AL Bombers, actually, they're doing the Home Run Derby a little differently this year. Instead of doing just individuals, they're actually doing teams. The American League has a team captained by David Ortiz, and the National League's team is captained by Prince Fielder, and I think the AL was blowing them out last time I heard on the radio.
Yeah, well, Adrian Gonzalez and Cano blew up in the first round. Cano hit some monster bombs. He hit one, I think it was like 476, but it hit a thing, and they projected the trajectory. If it didn't hit the overhang, it would have been like 496 or something like that.
Jesus Christ.
And he was hitting some monster shots. And he and Gonzalez had 9, he had 8 in the first round. So.
All right. Well, let's just hope. Let's cross our fingers that Robbie Cano, who's not a home run hitter, doesn't go the way of Bobby Abreu, David Wright, and all those other guys who try to hit too many home runs and then their second half swing screws the pooch. I'm crossing my fingers for you that Cano's swing doesn't get affected.
The only reason I'm not too worried, see, I'm actually glad like a guy like Teixeira bowed out instead of him, because Teixeira is definitely more of a mechanical swinger that can get screwed up by something like this, whereas guys like Gonzalez and Cano have such like natural perfect swings. I don't see them getting too out of whack doing this kind of thing, because okay. They just have such natural, you know, powerful swings. Like, I mean, really, the two of them, I think they might have the two best swings in all of baseball. Of course, the greatest swing ever was Ken Griffey Jr.
I was always a fan of Junior's swing. I was always a big fan of Daryl Strawberry's swing. A nice free-flowing. I always liked his swing, too. So we'll get it. If we have time, we'll get it some baseball. We also tonight, if we have some time, as we told you in the past, I used to have a radio show, an online radio show, wrestling. And my co-host at the time and I, who still has yet to make his debut here, he hopefully will have time in the future to be able to join us. But we used to go over when the DVDs would come out, we'd go over the content lists, kind of comment on whether a DVD would be good or bad. You and I didn't get a chance to actually go over the two current ones out right now, which is the Best of Nitro or the Steel Cage DVDs. But the OMG, which I still think is stupid, 50 greatest or the 50 most 50 something incidents. I don't know. What's the actual name of it? Top 50 incidents in WWE history is revealed. And they actually, the website did reveal the order. So if we have time at the end, we'll release that, and you, Justin and I will chat about it. Maybe it'll let you know one way or another whether you want to buy it or not. I remember when my co-host and I did the top 50 superstars, we were pretty pissed. The match list actually was pretty good, but the countdown was pretty dumb. And maybe we'll go over the top 50 tonight and see if the order makes any sense or not. Of course, you know, that's one of those kind of DVDs that's like Vince's flavor of the month, because, you know, on that countdown, he had Hogan like at 22
right.
when he should be like 2, you know, so.
I got the Nitro DVD. I've enjoyed it. I just started disc 2 this morning, you know, and they're into early, or actually now I'm into mid. It's kind of a jump. They jump from like February into August. So right now it's I was just starting the Luger Hogan title match from August 4th, but a lot of good stuff. DDP is pretty cool as the host, and you know, if you're a WCW Nitro mark, it's definitely well worth getting.
Yes, I actually went to there's two Walmarts in my town here in Norwalk, in Connecticut. As Justin would know, because he used to live around here, the trashy one didn't have any DVDs. I got to go to the nicer one up on the other side of town and see if that one has it, but they didn't have those. The only wrestling DVD I saw of that one was WrestleMania 27, which, thanks to my PIC on my birthday, I already have. So otherwise, I didn't have anything else.
You know, it's actually been a surprisingly good. I don't have the DVD, but it's been on 24/7 on demand. This last week is the highest or High Flyers DVD. I guess I don't know when it was released. If it came out last year,
I think it came out like last October.
It's actually surprisingly good. The way they do it, they focus like on one guy at a time and then show a match, and they have a lot of random stuff. Like they have like a Morrison Tyson Kidd match from Superstars on there, and all kinds of crazy stuff. It's actually a pretty cool. I've been trying to watch it, and I recorded it all, so it's a good presentation. I wasn't expecting much out of.
Yeah, I remember. I don't have that DVD, but I remember looking at the list and remembering that that it was actually very well chosen. They actually got the smart guys out to do, no pun intended, smart guys out to put that match list together. But if we have time at the end, we'll go over the top 50 incidents DVD, and we'll let everyone know if they like it or not. So. All right, well, why don't we get started? We are at the halfway point of 2011.
All right, why don't you set the kind of set the stage for us as far as champions, WWE first, go ahead.
All right, as of right now, we'll start on Raw. Your WWE champion is, of course, John Cena, who won it at Extreme Rules. He beat The Miz and John Morrison in the cage match, of course, ending Miz's historic run. And it was historic to a certain extent, which he had the night – was it the night after TLC? No, it was the night after Survivor Series, right? Was the night after Survivor Series or the week after Survivor Series?
Yeah, well, so, yeah. No, yeah. Miz won it.
He had it at TLC, obviously, because he faced Orton. And Orton beat Barrett at Survivor Series. So it was somewhere.
Didn't he win it at TLC? Isn't that when he kicked Cena through the table?
No, he faced Orton at TLC.
Okay.
He won it on Raw.
In a tables match, though, right? Isn't that how he won it? Didn't he, like, kick him off the apron into the
no,
table?
No, he got the crap kicked out of him by the Nexus, and he hurt his knee.
Oh, that's
and then
right.
Miz cashed in at the end of the night and,
that's right.
And
yeah,
won
you're
it.
Right.
Yeah. Because Orton beat Barrett at Survivor Series. And then by TLC, Miz had it, and he faced Orton. So,
okay.
So, but a historic run by the Miz.
You can tell we're well prepared.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, the way the product is now, it's easy to forget something that went on last week.
Okay.
The
I know we,
the
Miz, we do these vintage vaults, and I can rattle you off Superstars results from like 1990, like nothing, and then like I can't tell you 3 weeks ago on Raw.
We can now figure out what the term avarice means, thanks to Jake. But however, I don't think anybody on the roster now knows what the word avarice means. But anyway,
wallowing in the muck of avarice.
Of avarice. Yes. We will have a Jake moment later in the week. We'll let you know. So Miz lost
what,
the
WWE. What, you planning on going partying? Or?
I'm going to go find his daughter and then smoke some crack in a hotel room. Anyway, John Cena is your WWE champion. He beat The Miz and John Morrison at Extreme Rules. The Intercontinental title is on SmackDown. So the U.S. title is on Raw, and it is currently held by Dolph Ziggler, who beat Kofi Kingston. The tag team champions are Michael McGillicuddy and David Otunga. And the women's champion is Kelly Kelly. On SmackDown, the world heavyweight champion is Randy Orton, who won it the night after the draft. And the intercontinental champion is Ezekiel Jackson. And I believe that is all the belts. Yes.
All right, and on the TNA side of the coin, the current world champion of TNA, Mr. Anderson, has held it since June 12th.
Yep.
Eric Young is a television champion since May 26th. Mm-hmm. Beer Money, tag champion since January 9th.
Yes.
Brian Kendrick just won the X Division title back from Abyss last night, actually, on their pay-per-view.
Yep.
Mickie James, knockout champion since April 17th. And the women's tag champions, Sarita and Rosita, since March. So.
I totally forgot that TNA had that many belts. They used to have like three. Now they have like seven.
Well, I think the TV title is very new. I'm pretty sure that is started this year.
And then don't forget they had the Legends Championship, which was, which mostly was pretty much Booker T's personal belt when he was in TNA in what, like 2008? And then they got rid of that when he left.
Well, it looks like they're going to have another one because Jeff Jarrett, in that whole storyline where he got fired from TV, he went to Mexico when he won the AAA heavyweight title, and word is he's going to be bringing that to Impact. So.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. It is getting like it is like pretty much WCW and Jim Crockett Promotions. Numerous belts up the wazoo. But and then Ring of Honor, just because that's our little pet federation now, thanks to our good friends John Walters and Eddie Edwards. Davey Richards is the Ring of Honor heavyweight champion.
Mm-hmm.
Christopher Daniels is the Ring of Honor television champion, who won it from our friend Eddie Edwards. And one of Justin's favorite tag teams of the last decade, world's greatest tag team, Shelton Benjamin, Charlie Haas, are your Ring of Honor tag team champions. So that is the belt situation of the three major promotions. Now, why don't we, I don't know, we got a nice, pretty good list here. Why don't we start with... You want to go based on what you wrote? You want to go up?
Yeah,
we'll do promotion of the year last. All right.
Yeah,
most disappointing pay-per-view. Now, again, this is pretty much WWE-centric because we haven't watched many. I've watched any TNA. I can't remember. I've never watched a TNA pay-per-view live, so I couldn't even.
I watched a couple through sneaky means, I think. But I had nothing that I remember specifically. I know there was one that a lot of people were upset about. I think it was the one where Kennedy and Sting fought.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there's also that one where Sting and Jeff Hardy, where Jeff was leaving and lost the title. Sting, he got pinned like in 3 seconds. I don't know if you remember the whole fiasco.
Yeah. So why don't we do most disappointing pay-per-view in WWE this year? Obviously, the pay-per-views so far this year, the Royal Rumble, Elimination Chamber, WrestleMania 27, Extreme Rules, Over the Limit, and Capital Punishment. And I have to say, for me, most disappointing pay-per-view probably would have to be Capital Punishment. I expected a better show. The card was laid out very well, but I felt like the main event didn't deliver like I thought maybe it could. I think the time management was poor. I think the Obama impersonator was fine for the first couple of short segments, and then they had that long drawn out thing at the end that kind of killed the buzz. Not a very well laid out show, in my opinion.
Yeah, I didn't see that show, but based on just the results and comments I've heard in your recollections, I'd have to agree. That was one that a lot of people actually really were looking forward to. They thought mm-hmm. it was kind of an underrated card. You know, Punk and Mysterio was very good, but outside of that, and of course, Orton Christian's been good all along. You know, some would argue that WrestleMania was disappointing, and I guess because of all the hype poured into it, you could kind of argue that. You know, you had the one great match, Taker, Triple H. You know, Orton Punk was very good, and the mm-hmm. Cody Rhodes match was very good. And of course, the Rock stuff ended up being a little anticlimactic, and then you have the whole, you know, Cena-Miz debacle as well. So,
right.
You know, I could easily see how you could consider WrestleMania possibly the most disappointing.
It's very hard for me to make WrestleMania a disappointing show unless it's really an utter piece of crap. And it really wasn't. I don't hate that show as much as some people do. And no, it's not just because of the Triple H match. I enjoyed it. I wish my guy had won, but I enjoyed it. The Miz, I don't know. I just felt like, and we talked about this that week on our podcast right after that show, that I felt like the creative cared so much about the guys in it and the hype surrounding it that they cared that they took their eyes off the wheel or hands off the wheel when it came to actually producing it. And that's where the disappointing part came in. But the show, in terms of the actual matches, they all were very good. I think the one thing that probably disappointed me about Mania was the fact that they had Edge curtain jerk the show, not realizing that that'd be it. I wish he had gotten at least he won the match. But Edge is probably one of my favorite guys over the last, like, 5 years. I wish he had gotten a better send-off. But other than that, I can't say WrestleMania was as awful as people are making it out to be. It could have been a lot worse if they had really retched it bad. The main event does pretty much leave a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths, including me. But Capital Punishment just could have been a lot better, if it was produced better. I feel like one thing so far this year, I feel like creative has really been has done a haphazard job of actually producing the pay-per-views, not the matches themselves, but laying out the card and laying out the production. They seem to have taken their foot off the gas or their eyes off the road in that aspect. I don't know what you think about that, or maybe some of our listeners have comments on that, but I just feel like the matches have not been terrible.
No,
I feel like the production of the show, the production of the pay-per-views, not necessarily Raw, because Raw has been boring for a while now. So Raw is not the problem. Raw, the production of Raw is not the problem. The content is the problem.
Yeah, it's not even that it's boring. It's just, maybe boring is a word. It's just kind of there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, they don't take too many chances. And it goes to show you when something like the Punk thing happens, like, and the world explodes. Like, I mean, we used to get that on a weekly basis, you know? And not that that was necessarily a good thing, but
right.
You know, you just Raw to the point where you can miss a few weeks and not maybe miss anything special, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And even now, and that just goes to show you where we can't even recollect what's happened weeks ago. Obviously, it isn't that memorable or that tremendous. Now, if you said, oh, what happened, you know, on a Raw in April of 1997, I could probably, you know, tell you the four
exactly.
in a row. So, you know, that's what it comes down to. But that's their, you know, position right now is that they're playing it safe. They're making money, they're successful, and they don't want to risk it. But it seems like maybe they're starting to push the envelope, find it a little bit more. But
right.
As far as how the production of the pay-per-views goes, I mean, yes and no. I mean, the sets and the overall, you know, that kind of stuff is still very good.
Yeah, that always looks nice. The actual graphics layout, that's fine.
It does seem like lately they've been either running long or short a lot of times. So it seems like they, with the filling of all the Obama stuff at Capital Punishment, that's definitely true. So, but okay, I think we're pretty much both in the same boat there. What do you think's been the most disappointing angle so far?
you know, as much as the match, as much as the match was a mess in terms of execution, looking back, and it's, and I'm not blaming anybody for it. Again, I think it's the writing. I thought the Cena-Miz build to WrestleMania could have been a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the build itself was a little flat. And I think that's what made the match. Because I think there was too much... I don't want to say there was too much Rock, but the two of them didn't get a chance to really build a good WWE Championship WrestleMania feud.
Right.
To build to the big show. I think Rock, the Rock Cena kind of distracted Cena from really focusing on Miz. Now, an optimist or an apologist, of which you and I have been accused of many times, would say that, well, Rock was used to distract Cena. Miz took advantage, got the upper hand all those weeks. And yeah, you could say that too. But at the same time, you know, it kind of made Cena look like a dope at times. But I think that build could have been a lot better and got the wrong slot. I hate to say it, but the main event of 27 probably should have been Taker and Triple H.
Yeah, I agree.
The only
thing that stopped them was The Rock being involved. If Rock wasn't involved in that match, it would have been Cena, Miz in the middle, and Taker, Triple H would have been last.
Yeah, exactly. So, I think that build, that angle, was stunted. You know what? It kind of reminds me, sticking with the game, it almost reminds me of the Triple H Jericho build to WrestleMania 18, where Stephanie and the stupid dog and the divorce and the shampoo and all that other crap, the luggage and all that nonsense, kind of took away from the two of them feuding to WrestleMania. And I think Rock indirectly distracted Miz and Cena from having a better build. So that's my pick for most disappointing angle.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely up there. I agree. Another one I would, which sucks because I really loved the first half of it, but the Cole Lawler stuff, the way it just kind of petered, well, it dragged on, and the way it ended up petering out, to me, it was more of a missed opportunity. Like, I still think they should have had Cena or King reveal Cole as the GM at some point during that whole thing. Mm-hmm. And just to get that wrapped up and add a little bit more heat. I don't like the way they finally ended it. I know they wanted Cole back in this role, but, you know, the way they ended up just having him apologize to King and that's it. After all the stuff he did to King and said to him, to have him coexist week after week now is just kind of screwy.
Right.
You know, this stuff week in and week out was great with all the Cole mine and you know, individual little bits and moments here. But overall, right, when you look at the angle as a whole, you know, I have to say it's kind of disappointing. In addition to Miz, Cena, I think R-Truth started out so hot with this heel turn, but the way he's kind of gone lately is kind of disappointing. I mean, I guess he's just bad timing on his part, maybe. You know, it was like good enough for that one show, but there's so much other stuff going on, Punk and eventually Del Rio, that, you know, Truth is just kind of, you know, stuck in a weird spot right now. He'd maybe actually be better off on SmackDown to feud with Randy Orton at this point, but...
be fun. Be an interesting dynamic with him and Christian Truth is the kind of guy right now that would thrive on SmackDown. Kind of sad thing, a lot of guys could thrive on SmackDown right now. Even some guys on the Raw roster would do better on SmackDown right now.
Punk, maybe, but it'd be hard to waste this character in this heat. You can't do it on a tape show.
Well, yeah,
you need
Punk.
The unpredictability of the live show with him.
Yeah, well, Punk, I'm not even counting because we don't know if he's even going to be here past Sunday, which brings up an interesting dynamic, and I want to bring that up a little bit later about the future when we get to predictions for the second half. I got something interesting. Scenarios in my head about that when we get to Punk, but so those are our most disappointing angles. Those are really the only two negative topics of our half year awards here on the Place to Be podcast tonight. All right, on the other side of the coin, what is the feud angle of the year? What's your favorite angle of the year?
Well, I hate to switch right back up, but I really enjoyed the King Cole, you know, up until Mania. Like, if the Mania match was a squash and that's how they end it, it would have been tremendous, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the Punk stuff has been great. Punk Orton had a pretty good feud as well, I thought, leading into Mania. And overall, though, I guess maybe this falls under more gimmick of the year. But it's kind of been an ongoing angle. And that's the Cody Rhodes stuff with the broken face and all the shit he did with Ray. And now that he's doing Daniel Bryan. I've really, really dug that whole angle that he's been doing.
Yeah, I like
and,
it.
And I'll also say Miz and A-Rai. That's been very good. And it's unpredictably made... A-Rai into a pretty big star.
Yes, I agree. All excellent choices. I like all those as well. Mine, Probably just because every match I've watched, I've loved, and that's got, and that to me is Orton and Christian. I feel like when they were both faces, and now Orton and now Christian is the heel, their matches have all been excellent. And I think you're gonna have another one on Sunday. Unfortunately, I won't be able to watch it live, but I think it'll be an excellent match. And I have a feeling there's rumors about, and again, we'll get to that when we talk about the second half. There's rumors about that, this show possibly switching up a little bit and some of the lineup changing, but, we'll get to that in a little bit, but, that one, and yeah, I am going to say it. I know you didn't like it cause it was a little choppy and didn't have that much. It was more single shots, but I did like the Taker Triple H build. It wasn't a full feud. You know, they came up, they did their promos on their own.
Well, it picked up a lot when they got Shawn involved and did that, all that stuff. That's when it really picked up. I mean, I think the problem with that feud is just a lot of people get disappointed thinking the videos are for Sting. And then when it wasn't Sting, it took a little bit to get over that. You know what I mean? But once it got going, I agree that it was good.
Yeah, but you're right, though. You are right. It did take a little bit of time until – and then once Shawn got in and then the real drama started – that's when I think it picked up. But I have to say, my favorite angle so far this year has been Christian and Orton. Mm-hmm. I think it's been great, top to bottom. And it's good. It seems like there's been a lot more positive angles this year, considering we've been kind of slamming the crap out of the product. There have been some good angles this year. So, this is also a chance for us, for Justin and I, because we are, and all of our friends say it, and I'm not ashamed, we are huge Vince apologists. We defend him at every turn because he's like our unspoken godfather, but we have kicked him at times when he deserves it. And so far this year, the product has been a little up and down. But we do feel that there have been some good feuds and angles. There have just been some things that have kind of derailed them from being very, very good.
And I also wish we could include more TNA stuff in this stuff, but you know, it's just we only have so much time, and we just unfortunately don't always get to watch it. I've been trying to make a point over the last month to try and catch a majority of Impact throughout the week on DVR. So I'm trying to get back into it. You know, I could tell you some stuff that's happened, but I can't really tell you specifics because I just haven't. I know the Jarrett Angle feud was excellent, though. If we're talking about best feuds and best angles, the whole stuff with them fighting about Karen and all that has been was very good. And they had a lot of great matches as well. And I know there's been some feuds that have been crapped out a lot, like Pope and Samoa Joe and you know, stuff with the Hardys and the whole thing with Immortal falling apart with Ric Flair basically going insane. you know, so it's had its up and downs throughout. And one of the breakout stars, Bully Ray, of course, like we mentioned last week, he's been doing very well. And, you know, in this whole point series as well has been excellent, too. So, they have their ups and downs. Unfortunately, we just don't watch closely enough to really give accurate breakdowns.
Right. And I just, maybe it's just me being... I don't want to say childish. Maybe it's just me being stubborn, but I just can't stand watching anything that Vince Russo writes. I just can't. I don't feel like living the Attitude Era again. And it really upset me. And we talked about it on I don't know if it was last week's headline show or maybe it was the week before. Ever since that Raw or that Impact, the night that they did the dueling shows, I just felt so upset and betrayed that we were going to be in for a really special show and I was really going to get into TNA and I was going to think of maybe starting to buy the DVDs and stuff. And then I was watching Nitro 97 again.
The problem was, though, I think they went too fast with that. They should have really taken the time more and like built up their product again before jumping into that Monday Night War like that. That was a problem for them. But, you know, going to the 2-hour show, you know, being on Thursday nights again, and I kind of like the Thursday night thing. I look forward to the Thursday nights, one more day of the work week and, you know, having some wrestling on. And I actually think the product's better now than it was then because they've kind of filtered out some of those guys that they brought into that nostalgia pop. They're still there, but not as many.
Right.
And the championship point series has actually been really good. And, you know, we can bash Russo all we want, but the idea that wrestling actually counts and these points counts and the storylines play into it, you know, it's actually added a lot, I thought. And I, like we said, you know, Raw is the more consistent show, but Impact has more peaks and valleys. So you can get a great show or an awful show, whereas Raw is pretty much always, you know, even center. But you don't ever really get a great Raw anymore.
Right. Yeah. And I think that eventually there will be a shuffling of the Impact product. I mean, it's funny, and you mentioned it to me. They changed the name. You know, it's not TNA technically anymore. It's called Impact Wrestling. Yet everything still looks the same. Like they're not doing it right. You know, this is easy stuff to remember. You know, if you're rebranding the product, you might want to maybe snazz up the set a little bit, change things up, and they don't. And maybe it's just because I can't stand Mike Tenay either. But I don't know. As long as, and you know, we read something on one of the sites that Dixie Carter is very fond of Russo. So the guy's got a job as long as, you know, Panda Energy keeps throwing money into
Hogan
it.
Hogan kind of threw him under the bus, I think, a few weeks ago. So
yeah, well, that too. Hogan's doing that to a lot of people lately.
All right, let's move back to our categories here.
Yeah, so there's a lot of things about TNA. We're going to try and get into it a little bit more, and I wish we could watch some more Ring of Honor, but that's another topic.
Well,
I
don't know if you looked at all, but I checked the website. They have their listings for Sinclair, and it's not in our area at all. So no. We can watch online, but we won't be able to watch on TV right now, unfortunately. Oh,
okay. Bummer. Okay. Now,
A-Rai and Miz, A-Rai picks up another big win here tonight in this match.
Oh, okay. I actually don't have Raw on at the moment, but I'll probably watch it when we're done. All right, show of the year. Now, you wrote that out. Is that, like, which show's better, Raw or SmackDown? Or Impact? Okay, TV show.
Yeah, TV show.
Honestly, I'm going to go with SmackDown. I think SmackDown's been the best show. Pre-Edge, post-Edge. I think SmackDown's been the better show. I have. I think Raw has had parts that have been very entertaining, but I think top to bottom, I've enjoyed SmackDown more.
All right,
that's my vote.
You're going to consider my vote unfair, but I'm going to pick Tough Enough.
I didn't even think of that. Now, see, all right, well, all right. I was thinking about permanent weekly shows, but
easily the best wrestling related show ever.
Yes,
week.
All right, not counting
that because that's kind of in its own class. I'm with you. SmackDown. I really enjoy watching week to week. I like the pace. Like I've said before, it makes me feel a little bit like more old school. The pace a little bit slower. The angles build a little bit slower. It's more wrestling. It's not as frantic as Raw is. Up until it got canceled, I was really liking watching Superstars. I love the way that they had just the lower guys in their own little feuds on that show. And, you know, I think they're really missing that show as well. So, you know, other than that, yeah, Raw is Raw and Impact's Impact. So I'll go SmackDown/Superstars. And obviously, like I said, Tough Enough is in its own characters.
Yes, I agree. I love Tough Enough this year as well. I think for this year, maybe the last 2 years, I think Raw being live has actually been its detriment. Because I think the more tightly edited SmackDown shows actually make it easier to watch. And actually, when you talk about pacing, I think editing down the show so you catch the best stuff has actually made the show more entertaining. Whereas Raw, I feel it feels like at times they're kind of, I don't know, the show kind of lags and skits are not as good as they should be and they're just very long. So I think at times, I think the live part of it actually hinders Raw's entertainment value compared to SmackDown sometimes.
Yeah, but the thing is, if you look at look at last week's tape show. I think it really hurt Raw, especially coming off that hot angle. I mean, it was good because it gave them the 2 week bump to have people ready for the Punk stuff. But overall, I think you have to do Raw live. I know what you're saying. It probably does affect the maybe quality, but I think without having that live component, I think it would really hurt.
Whole scope of things, I would never make Raw taped. My point is, at the moment, it's hurting it. Now, if Raw as a standalone starts to sizzle again. And I think the reason you're saying that is because the previous week we had that awesome live Punk. If that was any other week, I don't think anybody would have noticed.
Right.
But the fact that we were coming off that awesome Punk promo, I think the tape show kind of came off flat because we were coming off something really hot.
Yeah, it was definitely flat, but in a way I think it ended up working, like I said, because it gave you that old school like 2 week build to really be amped up for tonight's show. Plus,
exactly.
it honestly gave them less time to fuck it up before the pay-per-view.
Well, yeah, that's true too. So, show of the year, I say SmackDown. And Justin has SmackDown with and Tough Enough with honorable mention to Superstars, which I'm really upset. Even though I'm not taping it anymore. I taped like the first probably 6 months of Superstars when it came out. And now it's, of course, on the website. It's not on a regular TV anymore. So match of the year. And this encapsulates everything. TV, pay-per-view. If you've been to a house show. And you thought an awesome – you watched an awesome house show match? That counts too. I've been to a house show in I don't know how long, so that doesn't go under me. And you've actually been to a house show more recent than I have. But match of the year. Well, I'd have to say at least in my top three, I'd have to obviously say Triple H and Taker from 27.
Mm-hmm.
I liked – maybe because just the way that – just the anticipation of it, even better than the Mania match. I think the triple threat cage with Morrison, Miz, and Cena, I actually really like that match.
Mm-hmm.
I like the super FU or super adjustment, whatever they call it, that won it for Cena was kind of cool to watch. any of the Christian Orton matches, probably the one that Orton actually won the title was actually pretty damn good.
Yeah, the one on SmackDown.
The one on SmackDown where he actually won the title.
Yep.
Those are probably my three best matches of the year, with honorable mention to Cody Rhodes and Rey from WrestleMania. I enjoyed that a lot too.
Yeah, Orton Punk at WrestleMania was very good too.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, Triple H Taker, as far as epics go, is probably the best match epic wise. But as far as like in ring action goes, I'd have to say, yeah, one of those Orton Christian matches, probably the same one as you said, the SmackDown one, but they've all been excellent. And also, I believe, let me make sure I get the date right. I think it was on the January 3rd. Yeah, Ms. Morrison, 18-minute, the False Count Anywhere match.
Oh, yes. I was actually watching that with our man Matt Rotella at his house. I remember watching that.
That was an awesome match.
Yes, it was. Yep. Was it January 3rd?
Yeah, January 3rd. Yep. It was the first Raw.
Okay.
Yeah, that was an excellent match. I really, really liked that match.
That was almost 17 and a half minutes, which is unprecedented for Raw.
Yeah, it kicked off the show. That was the big thing.
And actually, the cage match at the end, the Orton-Sheamus Barrett match, that actually was pretty fun, too. That was a good Raw.
Really good Morrison Sheamus match? Was that TLC?
The TLC match, yes. There was also a TV match, too.
Yeah, I can't remember when that was.
Yeah, I can't either.
Is that one where we had that sick kick to the face, remember? It was like some really crazy move in there.
Was that the one on the 11th? Oh, well, it might have been the following week, January 10th in Nashville. John Morrison pinned Sheamus at 12:06 with the knee to the head after dropping Sheamus.
Yeah, I think that was a good match, too.
Yeah, that was a great match, too. Yep. And there's rumors about his health, John Morrison. Morrison's health, yeah.
Neck is kind of bad shape, right? Is that what it is?
Well, no, it's apparently that they're throwing red herrings out that he's not supposed to be back until... Well, when we get to the second half predictions, I'll get into that. There was something I read today that I thought was very interesting. I don't know if it's true or not, but we'll see. Okay.
Right, so I'm sure we're forgetting some matches, but fans, let us know if there's any you guys
please
remember that we're forgetting.
You know, obviously you can comment on all three of our venues, the Place to Be Facebook page, Place to Be Podcast, historyofwwe.com, as well as our Podbean page. And we do have a email. We don't pimp it a lot.
Yep.
But we might as well do it. We haven't done it in a while. PlaceToBePodcast@gmail.com.
Yes.
You can hop on that as well and send us your emails, and we'll obviously read them on the air. So if you have any matches that we may have missed, please, by all means, put them up.
And I know. I mean, there are definitely like tons of Mysterio matches every week. He has great matches too. So.
Yes. Okay. Pay-per-view of the year. Obviously, I rattled off the WWE ones, and of course, there's the normal TNA ones. I didn't see any of them, so I can't comment on those. I would have to say I liked Extreme Rules. I thought Extreme Rules was a good show. Over the Limit was good. I liked Over the Limit.
I enjoyed the Rumble with the 40-man. Of course, it's always hard to go wrong with the Rumble.
Yeah, that's true.
A couple of cool surprises in there with Diesel. And Booker T. Chamber was good. I mean, it's like the Rumble nowadays, the Chamber. You know you're going to get at least two pretty good matches with the Chambers.
Yes. I have to say, I didn't see. That was the one pay-per-view this year so far that I have not seen. I did not watch the Chamber. So
WrestleMania is WrestleMania. You know, you had some good matches. You had a couple of crap matches. But just, you know, I'll always enjoy watching WrestleMania, no matter what. Like we said, Cody and Rey was very good. Orton Punk was very good. And Taker Triple H, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, I wish Cole Lawler would have went better than it did. But, you know, what can you do there? So, Extreme Rules is very good. And I honestly think this one coming up this weekend may be the best of all of them.
Yeah, this pay-per-view on paper, Money in the Bank, looks like it's going to be pretty damn good.
Yeah. I mean, last year, as you could argue, was the best of the year.
Yeah, it might even have surpassed WrestleMania.
I think so. I think it definitely did.
You know,
and this year, in addition to the two great ladder matches, you're also going to have the obviously a lot of intrigue to the Punk Cena match.
Exactly, and the question of whether he's going to stick around or not. But I have to say, I liked Extreme Rules. I think that was I liked the Kofi Sheamus match was great. Kofi did that awesome leg drop off the top rope on the floor to Sheamus through a table. Rey and Cody, that False Count Anywhere match was very good. The Layla Michelle McCool match was good. Obviously, Karma coming in kind of added some fun to that, and then of course the cage match at the end was a lot of fun. So that's my pick, Extreme. So your pick is the Rumble.
Yeah, I'll go with the Rumble. I like the 40-man thing, and I like the Santino shit was good, and Diesel and Booker were good pops, and so and I'm always a Rumble mark. So, but I'm really looking forward to Sunday's show.
Yeah, I'll watch it probably. I might buy it on pay-per-view on the replay. Team of the year, tag team of the year.
It's hard to not say Beer Money, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, and I got to tell you, that's one team I do pay attention to. I was a big America's Most Wanted fan, so I've always had a soft spot for James Storm. And finally, and I got to say something, over the last few years there have been some certain TNA guys that I paid attention to. One of the guys was Robert Roode, so I kind of like them together, actually works for me. So I'm actually going to go with Beer Money, too.
Yeah, I mean, no one in WWE obviously deserves
no
too much credit. You know, the Hard Dynasty got split up early. Gabriel and Slater are just kind of there. Santino and Kozlov were fine for what they were, but...
Right. No, the tag team division right now is completely fallen by the wayside in WWE. So definitely Beer Money gets our pick for tag team of the half year. Wrestler of the year.
I got two.
I've got three. The Miz, Randy Orton, and Punk.
Yeah, my two were going to be Orton and Punk. I mean, Punk... You know, he's completely the overall package, obviously, you know, especially now with how red hot he is. Orton has been so under the radar, really, you know, even on Raw a little bit with the feud with Punk. That was pretty much his whole first half of the year. And then this feud with Christian has been tremendous. And he's really just, you know, everyone, every week he has a match, is just really good on SmackDown, rarely disappoints. And his character's working well over there. Miz, you know, I'm such a big Miz fan, but I can't get some of the Cena stuff that taste out of my mouth, and then since then he's just kind of been, you know, he's still been good, but he just hasn't been moving up. He's kind of been there. But, you know, the stuff he's doing with Alex Riley has been really good. He's really making that kid into a star, so full credit there. And he works his ass off, you know, just so many public appearances and all that kind of stuff. So he's a good ambassador for the promotion.
Okay. All right, so we both agree on Punk, we both agree on Orton.
Yeah, you know, one thing we didn't talk about, how about kind of like most disappointing wrestler of the year? We did Angle. I'm going to say it's been Alberto Del Rio. You know, coming off the Rumble, you know, he looked red hot winning that. And then ever since then, it's been every month. Oh, this is where Del Rio's probably going to go. Nope, nope, nope. Oh, Del Rio's match. Nope, nope. You know what I mean? He's just keeps getting start and start. Then they get into the feud of the Big Show. And then, you know, now he lost Ricardo Rodriguez. Hopefully he comes back at some point. But
right.
It looks like maybe he's finally going to get things going again if he wins Money in the Bank. But it just seems like he had so much potential in January, and by now it's just kind of been flattened.
Yeah, and unfortunately, a lot of that's really not his fault. Every time they feel he's about to do something, something comes up that they need to strike while the iron's hot immediately,
right.
And he gets kind of shunted. So
yeah, the Edge stuff, really, Edge retiring obviously hurt him a lot.
Yeah, it did, because Del Rio, that was really the downfall, and obviously can't blame Edge, but had Edge been healthy, Del Rio would have won that ladder match at Extreme Rules. I don't think there's any question about it. But, you know, on the silver lining, we would have gotten Christian Orton.
Right.
So maybe we would have in another capacity, but who knows? Actually,
no, because Orton probably would have stayed on Raw.
Yeah, if Edge was still around, Orton would not have been needed to move over, which would have made Raw very interesting, and Punk may not have had such a high-profile role, and, you know, one thing leads to another. So Del Rio, unfortunately... every time an opportunity is ready for him easily, something comes up that they have to do that moment. So he gets shunted. So it's unfortunate. And obviously the promotion of the year.
I'd probably say Ring of Honor.
Yeah, I have to say Ring of Honor too. Yeah.
I know we haven't talked about it much, but they consistently get the best reviews, consistently have the best pay-per-views. They have the best, well, I mean, WWE's got actually all three promotions have a pretty good roster of talent, but Ring of Honor seems to use theirs the best. You know, we're both fans of old school style of wrestling, and that's what they give. So,
yes.
You know, WWE has just kind of been there. Like we said, they're not great, but they're not bad. I mean, with the guys that they have, you know, you're always going to at least get good matches. you know, they give guys time, especially on pay-per-view, to deliver, and the guys generally do. So TNA, you know, but yeah, I'm going to say Ring of Honor. You know, what can you say?
Yeah.
About it, but.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much it. Now let us look ahead to the second 6 months of 2011. Of course, we still have SummerSlam coming up. We do have a Survivor Series at Madison Square Garden.
Yes.
So we know that hopefully will be a pretty sexy card, you like to think.
Well, that didn't surprise me a bit because Lou Albano is a big, fat, sloppy pig. I would.
And if he came out of nowhere and did color for that show, it'd be the greatest moment in the history of the universe. So,
yes.
All right. Let me ask you, my friend. We'll start off. Who is the breakout? We're going to break this into two different categories. Wrestler of the second half, guy that's already established, that's going to have a big second half, and then a breakout, a guy that right now is kind of middling, that's going to suddenly become a superstar.
All right, I'm going to say Punk is going to be the wrestler of the second half, because I don't think he's going anywhere.
I agree. I don't think he is either.
Del Rio will have a good second half as well. Breakout, I'm going to say Alex Riley,
mm-hmm.
Sheamus,
mm-hmm.
and I think Mark Henry will continue to be very good. I don't know if you consider that a breakout, but I think Sheamus is going to win Money in the Bank and have a very good feud with Orton in the second half of the year.
Okay. Wrestler of the second half. Believe it or not, you're going to think I'm nuts because we haven't said his name much, but I think as we get closer to the end of 2011 and get towards 2012, I think you're going to see John Cena step his on-air game up.
Well, he's going to have to.
Yeah, I think he's going to have to, and I think he'll deliver. I've gained a lot more respect for this guy over the last couple months than a lot of the times we slam the crap out of him. I think he's going to be – I think he needs to, obviously, because, you know, he's going to be facing the great one, and not just in the ring but on camera. And at least in some of those little bits before WrestleMania, he was able to hold his own a little bit. But he's going to have to really carry things the second half if they really want this 28 Miami thing to go down. So I'm going to give – a tentative wrestler of the second half to Cena, because I think he needs to. He has no choice.
Well, it's good to see him tonight kind of finally stand up. I know you haven't watched it yet, but he finally stands up for himself in facing Punk in a promo. So he really kind of defended his position finally and just spoke up and shut Punk down a little bit. So it was good to see him, you know, finally take that step instead of going out there and making fart jokes.
Yeah, and being a goof. Yeah, exactly. Breakout star... the last time I chose with my heart instead of my head, the Lakers got swept by Dallas. So I'm not going to – because I want to say Daniel Bryan, but you know that's not going to happen. So I'm going to say Kofi, because I've been reading things that Kofi may actually win Money in the Bank Sunday. Whether that happens or not, obviously, who knows. But there is some rumblings that there's a good chance he may actually win Sunday. So we'll see. But I like to see Kofi, really. He's been here long enough. I think he's earned his keep. He's very popular with the fans. I think this is Kofi's chance to really have a great second half and maybe be thought about as somebody who may not win Money in the Bank Sunday, but maybe somebody that could possibly win the Rumble in 2012. Maybe a guy that could step up to that next level in 2012.
You know, there's a few guys in that tier. You got Cody Rhodes, Dolph Ziggler. You know, a few different guys that are kind of in that level to me. I don't really count R-Truth because, you know, just... at his age, I don't see him ever being like a major star. I think he'll just kind of settle into being what he is, upper card guy that can step in and be in a title match if needed.
Right. Okay. Well, it'll be interesting to see how those guys all, you know, get their, you know, where they'll be placed. And obviously where they'll be placed and what's given to them will make a big difference as well, particularly Del Rio, mm-hmm. because he is supposed to be facing Cena at SummerSlam. And we'll see if that does happen. And if he gets the rub that seems to be getting shafted on. Champions at the end of the year. This is interesting.
Well,
Raw.
Okay. I think Cena will still be world champion by
then. Cena will still be WWE champion at the end of the year. He has to be. U.S. champion. I'm going to say...
I'm
going to
say Punk.
I'm going to say Punk. Divas champion, who really cares, but
yeah.
I have a feeling it's going to be Beth Phoenix. Rumors are she's going to turn heel and beat the crap out of Kelly Kelly. So
we'll see. And then they set something up with Kara. Who knows? But
yeah. Tag team champions. Oh, God, I don't know. I'm going to say McGillicuddy and Otunga keep it. They probably won't, but who knows?
I'm going to go on a crazy limb. And
don't say Cena and Rock, please.
No, no. There's only one set of tag champions, right, right now? Oh, no, they have two, right, still?
No, there's only one. The gold belts.
That's right. I keep thinking it's Slater and Gabriel have them, too. Right. But I'm going to go on a limb and say Castagnoli and Hero will be the tag champions.
Really?
I think they're going to get signed, and I think they're going to be champions, too.
That's interesting. That'd be tremendous.
Yeah, I'm going. That's my way out there promotion.
And see, to me, that would be an awesome start of a faction with Punk and Daniel Bryan, leading to maybe Punk winning the Rumble. Maybe. We'll see. What did I miss? Is that all the women? Is that all the belts on Raw?
I see.
Oh, no, you know, I'm just trying to go.
Right. Yeah, that's it for Raw.
Yeah, okay. SmackDown. World Heavyweight Champion. I'm going to say Wade Barrett. Because I think Barrett's going to. I still think Barrett's going to win the SmackDown Money in the Bank and at some point cash in on a beat up. I think Orton's going to cash in on for the second year in a row.
I'm going to say Sheamus.
Okay.
I think that it seems like they're really getting back behind him now.
Yeah. IC champ. I'm going to go out on a limb and say Mark Henry.
That's fine. I was kind of thinking him maybe, but
I think he's earned a chance to have a belt again. Been a while since he was ECW champ. I think he'll win the IC title. Him and Ezekiel could have an awesome, just big man feud. I'm trying to see if like Ezekiel could slam him or lift him up. I think it'd be pretty cool.
All right. I'm going to also kind of go out on a limb. I'm going to say Sin Cara. Now, normally he's not the type that maybe you would think would have an IC title, but with Triple H really being behind him, and rumors are out there that he told Sin Cara, like, if anyone says anything to you or talks shit to you, come tell me. You know, I'll take care of it. I think they really are behind him for a push. If not him, I can see it being on Cody Rhodes.
Okay. All right. And the last question you put is, will Undertaker, CM Punk, or Triple H return before the end of the year? Well, we both think Punk's never not leaving anyway, so he's
right.
Technically out of the question.
And if it does, he'll be back before the end of the year.
Yeah, I think so, too. As for the other two, it all depends on what happens next Monday night. Because after Money in the Bank, of course, we need to start building to August. What the hell is it? August 21st, I think it is. August 21st in Los Angeles. So, we'll see what happens 1 week from tonight, because they're going to build to Triple H Taker the rematch at SummerSlam. They have to come out at some point. So
I don't think either are on before the end of the year.
I think so. I'm starting to lean more though towards you're not going to see either of them before January.
No, I don't think so. I think they're going to fight once more at WrestleMania and that'll be it. I can't see maybe not against each other, but I think that'll be it. I think Triple H is going to have one more WrestleMania match where he wins and Taker will get one more win to put him at 20. Right? Because it'll be 20 at the next one?
Yes.
Okay. And that'll be it. I don't think they're going to have the SummerSlam match. I think they would have already started doing something by now.
You're probably right. Good question would be, who would eat if... This is a bonus question. If you had to... If you were put on the spot right now, okay? You said that Taker and Triple H would be in separate matches. Well, who would they face next year in Miami?
Well, the problem is the money match is Cena-Taker. But obviously you can't do that.
Right.
If you wanted to shock people and end the streak, you can make Punk a really, really over a super heel right now.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I don't believe the streak should end because I think it means more legacy-wise, merchandise-wise, long-term for them not to end it than they would by any kind of perceived bump that a guy would maybe get. If you talk about who would have a good match and, you know, give Taker that good, clean win, you know, the final one before he's done, I'd say Chris Jericho.
Because you know you'll get at least 4 stars out of it.
Yeah, you know he'll work hard. He'll make it entertaining. He'll give you some believable near falls. The only problem with that is there's probably not much intrigue. But really, I mean, who even Triple H at this point, do you have a lot of intrigue of him winning? I don't know who there is. I think Cena is really the only guy that you could maybe say, oh, shit, you know, his streak may be in jeopardy here.
Yeah. Probably the only guy, you know what's funny? It really sucks that that they did book this. I think now they're almost regretting doing Cena Rock, because I think right now if they really did want, if Taker did say next year Miami's it for me, then they have no choice. They have to do him and Cena. Right. They have to. So I almost think they're screwing them. They screwed themselves by doing this.
No, they'll make more off Cena Rock than they would make off Cena Taker. I mean, Cena Taker's a big match, but there's no way they're gonna draw big off Cena Rock.
You're probably right. Triple H. I don't know. Do we really want to see him and Shawn again? I don't want to see that again. I want to keep those great matches in my memory. I don't want to see another match that might disappoint me.
I'm usually a guy that says, like, bring the guy back. I'd rather have a match to watch. But a guy like Shawn, we have so many great matches of his.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of fine. I hope he stays away. I hope that's it. You know, I hope we go out with his class against Taker, and that's it. I hope he never comes back and does a match. I'm fine if he gets involved with storylines and angles, but I hope he never comes back and gets in, has another match.
No. Who, Shawn you're talking about? Or Triple H?
Yeah, Shawn.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I don't think you'll see either of them before the end of the year. There's too much going on right now. There's too much creatively that WWE needs to fix and tweak without bringing those two in to kind of snarl the whole thing up.
No, you know, if you're going to have a fight, have it be at WrestleMania where you're going to really load the card. If you really wanted to have a mega card, what you could do is you do Cena Rock, you do Punk and Austin, and then you do Triple H Taker with Shawn as the ref. I mean, to me, if you have those three matches on top, you're going to draw.
Punk and Austin would be ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because that would just be fun, and the promos would be ridiculous.
You know, you get those three matches, plus if you have a hot, you know, world title feud on SmackDown coming into the show, like Orton and I don't know who at that point, but you know, if you have those four as your big headline matches, and then you have some of the undercard stuff, that could really be a great Mania.
Well, you know, it's interesting, if you can load that card with those three matches, you could take a chance on a world title feud. You can
something like that.
Yeah, or do a Sheamus Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Who cares? You're not making money off that match. Give somebody a chance.
Yeah, with those three matches on top, it would be unbelievable.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and I think this is the closest we've been to an Austin return, honestly. The way he's been, you know, kind of involved on Twitter and the whole stuff, him getting in the ring a little bit, you know, Tough Enough, getting a little squirrely in the ring. And, you know, I think this is the closest, you know, seeing Rock's success. I wouldn't be surprised if this year or next we have a return by Austin in ring.
And I think next year, with that big venue and, the possibility of Rock, you know, obviously we have Rock, Cena, Triple H and something, possibility of Stone Cold. Obviously, at some point, you're going to see Mick come back sometime. I really love the whole, I'm telling you, this whole old school new blood thing just keeps bubbling in my head.
Well, you know, you could start the Austin return and the Foley return if they do the old school Attitude Era style Raw in November.
Yeah, I think that's going to be I think that's going to be the old school. I think last year, of course, they did the awesome 80s with the cheesy USA crap Chiron. I think your ACTV graphics are better than better than the graphics on that show. And but I think this year they should do bring back the halogen red lights and the ramp and the ramp's there. But I mean, you know, bring back the cool Titantron and, you know, just imagine all the guys that could come back. Think of all the guys that could bring back Val and D'Lo and Draws, you know.
I don't know about Draws, but.
Well, he could bring Draws. I mean, I know he's in a wheelchair still, but apparently he's. I thought I read somewhere that he is starting to get some feeling in his legs finally.
I hope so. That'd be pretty cool.
So, but that'd be kind of neat. But, you know, like Kai and Tai and not the Oddities, because I'd be sad not seeing John Tenta, but.
All right, let's do this quick, to kind of move along. I'm going to read our buddy Sanchez gave me the TV records from the 1-3 Raw through. Capital Punishment.
Okay.
So similar like we did last week in our Vintage Vault. These are the TV records for all matches, and that includes Superstars until it went off TV.
Okay.
And then after we do this, maybe we'll hit up that DVD quickly.
Okay.
And Vince is greeting John Sr. in the arena in the crowd, which is awesome.
Oh, nice! Excellent.
Okay. Here are the matches and results for these guys. So Kofi Kingston, 28 matches with 16 and 12. And Sanchez counts any match where they didn't win was a loss.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so that's kind of how he counts
In terms of multi-guy matches.
Yes, yep. If you didn't win, you lost. And Battle Royals and the Rumble don't count.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Kingston, 16-12. Rey Mysterio, 19-8. Sheamus, 11-15. Del Rio, 12-14.
Oof.
Kane, 17-9. Hmm. Orton, you want to take a guess? 25 matches.
23-2.
Close. 21-4.
Okay.
Cena, 23 matches.
22-1.
13-10.
Wow. He's had to have lost some DQs.
Oh, I'm sure the mainly DQs and tag matches.
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah.
So, all right, Wade Barrett, 5-18.
Oof.
Yeah, it's pretty awful.
Oh, that's hideous.
But he only had 5 clean losses, so the rest are either like tags or whatever else.
Right.
Miz, 10-12. Santino, 11-10. Dolph Ziggler.
Good for him.
Dolph, 8-13. Swagger, 7-14. Punk, 10-11. Bryan Danielson, 10-10. Or Dan O'Brien.
Dan O'Brien.
Christian, 12-7. R-Truth, 9-10. All right, his Edge, 19 matches.
17-2.
18-1.
Oh, yes. I was going to say 19-0, but I thought that'd be too conspicuous, too easy.
Big Show, 12-7. Justin Gabriel, 7-11. Drew McIntyre, 6-12. Heath Slater, 5-13.
Who's winning all these matches? If these guys all have losing records, who's winning all these matches?
I don't know. It must just be some kind of weird round robin.
Would it Orton and Cena beat everybody? It's weird.
Morrison, 8-9. Cody, 6-9.
Cody 6-9.
I guess with that, you know, he didn't wrestle a lot early in the year with the nose thing. Remember, he barely wrestled.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Zeke 11-3. Apparently, he's winning the matches.
Good for him.
Vlad 6-8. DiBiase 2-11. Mark Henry 4-8. Jey Uso 4-6. Sin Cara 10-0.
That's no surprise.
Jimmy Uso 4-5, Zack Ryder 3-6, Evan Bourne 4-4, McGillicuddy 3-5, Mason Ryan 0-6, Alex Riley 0-5. Wait, this can't be right. 0-5. I have to talk to the Sanchez. This doesn't sound right. Otunga 2-2, Taker 1-0, and Triple H 0-1.
Yeah, Alex Riley's only wrestled 5 matches. That can't be right.
Yeah, I have to correct him on that. So
we have to check that.
So the rest of that, it sounds fairly accurate. So
yeah, but wow, some of those records are bad. Who the hell won these matches? Wow.
And just to give an update, right now the finals are going on in the Home Run Derby. Adrian Gonzalez hit 11, and Cano has to match him. He has 1 with 1 out right now.
Okay.
Those are the finals. So, all right. So now what I wanted to do was quickly, before we move to the DVD, I wanted to read the feedback related to the year in review.
Okay.
And then we can just see if there's anything we want to mention. So this is from the Place to Be podcast page. Matt Farrell. It's been a so-so year so far, much like WrestleMania 27, which is a middling show in the pantheon of manias. This is a middling era. Not as good as 87 through 90 or 97-03, but light years better than 91 to 96, which I actually disagree with, kind of. Mm-hmm. Matt Souza. Decent year so far with a few good shows like Elimination Chamber and the Royal Rumble match. My match of the year so far would have to be Taker Triple H at Mania. The match had exciting action and drama that kept you at the edge of your seat. Randy Orton Christian at Over the Limit was also very good. Jeremy Nichols. It's been a horrible year. I had to stop watching. I don't think it's been that bad, Jeremy.
No, it's not that bad, Jeremy. You know, we know you're a mark for the old stuff. We had you on last week. We know you are. But
I mean, antiseptic, yes, but I don't think it's been actively bad. I mean, no. I think it's better now than it was in, like, you know, 05, 06-ish. 07 was kind of their renaissance year, and then before the Benoit stuff obviously derailed them. But Curry Ferreira, so far 2011's been hit or miss. The first 3 months within WWE were great, and they always are for build to WrestleMania. Seeing the return of Rock, Austin, Undertaker, and the god that is the game, Triple H, the post-Mania duty has been quite meh, but the recent CM Punk angle has been great. Best in wrestling still goes to ROH. Let's hope for a good second half of 2011.
Who was that again? Whose comments were that?
Corey Ferreira, your new boyfriend. I'll have to play the LL Cool J song when you guys are together.
Is that is he a Triple Hermit? I wonder if he's Triple Hermit. There's a guy on our board, which we'd love for you to join, bigelow34.proboards.com. His handle is Triple Hermit, and he might be, I think he is actually, might be a bigger Triple H fan than me, and you can't find many of them. So
we'll start breaking out the LL Cool J song.
The LL Cool J. It'll put on our Road Warrior face paint together, too.
All right, Jason Greenhouse. This year has been disappointing so far. WrestleMania was looking so good on paper and could have been the best in a while, but ended up being a disaster. With the exception of a few mediocre storylines, nothing has really grabbed my attention. Where we stand now with the whole CM Punk thing leaving, things could make or break this year and the future itself. And Austin Pfaff, overall, it's been a so-so year. The Rumble was great, and the push for Del Rio is looking good. And I do mean was. Rock, Taker, Triple H's return helped WrestleMania be passable enough with another good show for Taker and Triple H, putting on another classic. R-Truth's heel turn was greatly done, and it's helped his career. The retirement of Edge was unexpected, and so was Christian's title run of 2 days. The Punk deal was kicked things into the gear for the rest of the year. As for TNA, no comment. However, last night's pay-per-view was pretty good. If it was more like last night's, maybe they could compete. Let's see, some more. Chris Sanchez. James, Rock's return, CM Punk promo. Motor City, Machine Guns, Generation Me, 5-star tag match. Announcement of Rock Cena at WrestleMania 28. Davey Richards, Eddie Edwards. 5-star match. Will Sting go to WWE discussions after the first commercial? Jeff Hardy's drug issues, losing to Sting in 30 seconds on pay-per-view. Bischoff hating the internet and telling fans that support his company they don't matter publicly on Twitter. That was also a big story.
Yes.
He went out and basically told the fans that the internet fans that they only make up like 5% and they don't mean anything. genius for a promotion that work, you know, lives off its smart crowd.
Yeah.
And update on Cano's got 6 home runs with 4 outs.
Okay.
R-Truth's heel turn, Edge's retirement, Christian's world title win and program with Orton afterwards, Karma's debut, subsequent demolishing of the Divas, crushing Michelle McCool, Mystico signing a debut, what it means to the return of international wrestlers, Zack Ryder, when will Bryan Danielson return? Wow, I can't believe I came up with that much. Karen Pollan, there was a bit of a rough patch after WrestleMania. Oh, sorry, Karen Pollan.
The Hot Scott.
There's a bit of a rough patch after WrestleMania up until Over the Limit, in which the booking was head-scratching, but after that, it's been fine. Obviously, the surefire winner for Moment of the Year has to be Rock's return. I'm a huge Punk and Christian fan, but even Punk's shoot and Christian's world title win can't live up the epicness of The Rock. I was actually crying during that return because I was so happy to see him. Whether it's because of Rock's return or that Justin Bieber wasn't hosting Mania, I don't know. After match of the year, it's still pretty early to figure out. Taker, Triple H, Richards, Edwards, and Christian Orton at Over the Limit are all contenders. Perhaps one of the Money in the Banks and Cena Punk can make that list. You can't really complain in terms of pay-per-view quality. Rumble is great as always. Elimination Chamber was excellent. Mania was watchable. Extreme Rules had awesome matches, and Over the Limit was a fun event. I didn't really watch much of Capital Punishment, so I can't say that. But after seeing Punk, Mysterio, Orton, Christian should be average. Whether or not 11 will be better than 10 remains. Todd Weber, still kind of disappointed in the product, but until there's actual alternative that I can watch in HD and isn't TNA, Impact, Hogan, Hulk Hogan, Kaka, I'll still watch Raw, SmackDown, in order of my 3 pay-per-views a year. And I wish I could find out how to get superstars on my big screen and not my computer. And just a couple from the History of WWE Facebook page, Graham Cawthon. I'd have to give MVP of the year to CM Punk, not only for the fact that he's currently talking to the industry, but also for the work earlier in the year with Cena. The series of solid bouts with Randy Orton, in a show-stealing match with Ray at otherwise bland Capital Punishment, always brings his A-game and elevates whoever he's in the ring with. Runner-up goes to Zack Ryder for promoting himself beyond just what we see on TV, which is very true. He's been a major story this year as well.
Yes.
More wrestlers should do the same. Aside from that, WWE has shown spurts of elevating lower-tier guys, Truth, Riley, etc., but only time will tell if those pushes equate to anything by the end of the year. What to look for later in this year is the impact of the Sinclair deal with Ring of Honor. So far, I think this is Jay Hinchy. So far, I think 2011 has been a pretty damn good year for WWE to this point, albeit with a few bumps in the road, nothing major. I would agree with Graham that CM Punk is the WWE's MVP of the first half, and I hope he comes back soon. I would say that both Raw and SmackDown have put on stellar shows, with maybe SmackDown holding a slight edge. No pun intended. So I am looking forward to the second half, and it should be some interesting things going down. By the way, is WGN picking up Ring of Honor? We get here in Atlanta, none of the local stations are picking it up, but we do get WGN. And Jay, no, it's Sinclair. I don't know if they have anything to do with WGN. But...
Well, you know, Jay, obviously people in Atlanta watch TV since they don't go to any of the sporting events. Oh, no, I'm sorry, I had to stoke the fire on that one. oh, well.
So there's all your feedback. You know, obviously there's some stuff we missed in there, but, you know, a lot of stuff we touched upon. And, you know, we are going to do a year-end review, obviously, at the end of the year and kind of recap, look back at some of our predictions. So hopefully you guys enjoyed that portion of the show.
I just had an idea, actually, while you were going over the comments. And again, Jay Hinchy, I'm only kidding with you, but we would like you to come on and we'll have a nice debate over Atlanta sports. But I think, because this is podcast number 47, I believe.
46, I think.
40. Well, let's double check. I'm pretty sure
it's 45.
All right, so we're at 46.
Yeah.
And
Cano just tied Adrian Gonzalez with 6 with 4 outs left still.
Okay. All right, so we have 5 more to go. I think we should maybe, for our special 50th, we should see if people can, for our loyal listeners that have listened to almost all of our podcasts to this point, maybe kind of come up with their favorite podcast moment or podcast episode of the first 50.
Yeah. Well, I could tell you just by the comments alone, it'll be Duggan related.
It'll either be Duggan related or LL Cool J related, something related.
Or we might as well read this. There are so many funny comments on the Facebook page, and I encourage all of our fans, please continue to bring the Duggan goodness on the Facebook page. Anything you can give us, Photoshop, songs. Corey Ferreira says, thanks to Place to Be for making me become addicted to the epicness that is USA by Jim Duggan on the WrestleMania album. Such a worthy song, lol-worthy song.
Ugh,
and then anytime anyone mentions Duggan, there's like a thread of quotes from the song and stuff. Like Todd Weber, I don't know where she is, Big Dust, but we're all looking for her. And then there was one point last week where Jason Greenhouse put up a picture of Duggan, and we all basically went line by line words of the songs. And Cano just won the Home Run Derby.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I have to say the best story I've heard of Duggan lately. I think it was, I forgot who it was. I have to check my Facebook, but somebody sent me, I think it was, it might have been Sanchez. I have to double check, but one of our loyal listeners told me a story that they saw him in the airport. They saw him in the airport walking down the terminal, and he actually slammed his shin on a chair as he was walking. The reason I'm stalling, cause I want to find the, where I, read it. But, one of our listeners told me a story that he saw him in the airport and he banged his leg on a chair. So, which totally doesn't surprise me. So, here it is. DDT died. Actually Chris Sanchez James on my Facebook page, not the, Place to Be, but my personal one. DDT Digest Bill. I saw Jim Duggan once walking through the St. Louis airport, and he walked right into a chair and banged his shin. Ah, thanks. There you go. That made my day. Anyway, keep the comments going. But we are, what, 5 episodes away. This is number 46.
Yeah, what we'll do is as 50, we get closer, so. Maybe after like 48 or so, I'll put up a thread on the Facebook page. And maybe we'll say this. Whoever comes up with the best moment, we'll do it after maybe the next couple. And whoever comes up with the best moment that makes Scott and I laugh the most on episode 49, we'll read them. We'll be a guest on episode 50. We'll do that.
Okay. All right. Good enough.
Regardless if it's a vault, headlines, whatever it is, you can join us on the show. So we'll throw that out there now. But we'll get a set up next week.
Yes.
Maybe. May I'll work on that while you're away next week. So.
We were going to do we were going to, since we're sticking to wrestling tonight, maybe next week we'll do our mid, our MLB, our baseball mid-season report. I will say this though, I'm usually terrible at predictions. My pick for the World Series, my world champion, is slumping badly, and that's Colorado. But I did pick the Red Sox to win the pennant, and they're in first place. But my individual picks, at least for the AL MVP and AL Cy Young, are doing quite well. I picked Adrian Gonzalez to win the AL MVP, and I picked Justin Verlander to win the Cy Young, and they're both having unbelievable seasons. So, but. We'll talk more about the MLB picks coming up next week.
Okay. So let's all right, let's move on quickly and let's get to the DVD stuff. And we'll wrap up with that. So
okay. All right, so the newest DVD that's out right now, or it's coming out, is the Oh My God, and I hate they did that, OMG, the top 50 incidents in WWE history. It comes out on August 23rd. And we're gonna spare our viewers, our listeners, if they wanna, we're gonna actually do a spoiler here. If you don't want to hear the countdown, fast forward ahead. If you do, then we're gonna do it right now. Okay, from 50 to 1. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna give the date to Mr. Rosero, and he is gonna try and quickly guess what the moment is.
Okay.
Number 50, February 5th, 1988.
Obviously the main event.
Yes, Hogan beating Andre, the two Hebners. Number 49, June 7th, 2010.
June 7th, 2010. Brett Mc... No, that would have been...
That was January.
I'm sorry, what was the date again? Say it.
June 7th, 2010.
June 7th, I'm sorry. Nexus.
Nexus destroying Cena, ripping the lot to shreds. Number 48, June 7th, 1999. It was a Raw.
June 7th, 99. Is that the, it was me all along?
No.
Okay.
It was when Big Show chokeslammed Taker through the ring.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Number 47, WrestleMania 12.
The boyhood dream comes true?
No, the backlot brawl.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Number 46, it aired on September 7th, 1991, but it happened before that date. It technically happened at SummerSlam, but it didn't air at SummerSlam.
The Cobra
with Sid Liz and Savage at the wedding reception. April 5th, 2009. I don't even know what this moment is, but let me see if it's on the. Let's see, it's not on the. Is it on the Blu-ray exclusives? Okay. WrestleMania 25.
Huh?
I don't know. It's it says Cena's Feet of Strength. It must have been when he must have FU'd Big Show.
Okay.
Because it's called Cena's Feet. It must have been when he did Big Show. This is hideous. Number 44, June 27th, 2004. Great American Bash.
JBO. Oh no, the Crypt. Paul Bearer getting killed.
Yes, when Paul Bearer got covered in the concrete. Number 43. Raw, April 27th, 1998.
Say the date again.
April 27th, 1998. Raw.
Was that Vince's first match?
No. That is when DX invaded the scope in Norfolk.
Oh, okay.
WCW. February, number 42, February 2nd, 1998.
That is the night after WrestleMania. No, wait. February. I'm sorry. I am all thrown off. February. I'm not listening to the month. I'm listening to the day.
February 2nd, 1998.
Is that the Cactus Jack Terry Funk?
Yes, the dumpster stage dive. Yes. Great moment here. December 13th, 2001. I believe this is SmackDown.
SmackDown. So is that Ric Flair's return?
No, it's not Flair. Flair. That was November. That was the night after Survivor Series.
December. Is that the supermarket fight?
Yes. Milk, it does your body good.
If you keep drinking, you won't become a midget, and you won't be stuck playing basketball.
Here's an interesting one. This one you should remember, okay? February 8th, 1997. Shotgun Saturday Night.
Is that that's not Funk. Is that Taker tombstoning Triple H?
Yes, on the escalator.
Yep.
Yep. Number 39. They don't do a specific date, but this is all the terrible suicide attempts by Tim White.
Ugh.
Just so bad. Do you know that he sold the Friendly Tap?
I think I did know that, yeah.
He did. He sold the Friendly Tap. Number 38. Raw, July 15th, 2002.
Bischoff?
Yes. Makes his debut. Number 37. One of yours and my favorite moments. Backlash, 2004.
The hardcore match?
Yes, when Orton is dumped on the thumbtacks. At number 36, April 26th, 1999, the test episode of SmackDown.
There was the corporate ministry forming.
The wedding, yeah, the unholy wedding at the New Haven Coliseum. Number 35, you should definitely know this one. Good Friends, Better Enemies, April 28th, 1996.
When they rip off Fashan's leg?
Yes, it is. Oh, old school right here. Number 34, March 7th, 1986, on a Piper's Pit.
Is that the coconut? No, that was way before that.
That was way before.
86. Oh, Haiti Kid's shaving head?
Yes, they shave the Piper and Orton shave Haiti Kid's head into a mohawk. Oh, see, for me, this moment should be in the top five. October 5th, 1998, Raw.
That is the I'm not sure.
That is when Vince is in the hospital.
Oh, and, right. How did I forget that? Mr. Sacco.
Mr. Sacco and Steve hits him with the bedpan, which makes our friend Evad fall on the floor, crap, pee in his pants laughing. It is one of the funniest moments of all time. The reverberating of the bedpan on Vince's head is probably one of the greatest moments ever. September 9th, 1999.
That is Sean Turning?
No. This is it says Jarrett plays a number with Moolah.
Oh yeah, when he beats a Moolah and puts in the figure four.
Yes. Number 31. January 8th, 2006. New Year's Revolution.
Oh, Edge cashing in Money in the Bank.
Edge catches Money in the Bank. Number 30, one of your favorite moments of your favorite guy, August 20th, 2001, Raw.
Oh, Milkamania.
Milkamania. Got milk. Number 29 is not a date, but it's the various Kiss My Ass Club moments. Number 28, January 16th, 2009. I believe it was an episode of SmackDown. No, it was... Now I'm puzzled.
I don't know.
It's the one where Jeff Hardy gets attacked by the pyro.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Number 27, April 27th, 2000. The SmackDown before Backlash.
The DX Express getting blown up.
Yep, when Austin blew up the DX bus. November 29th, 1999, at number 26.
Big Show's daddy, something to do with that?
Nope, Triple H comes out and announces that he married Stephanie.
Oh, okay.
Through the drive-thru. Number 25, November 8th, 2004. Snitsky kicks the baby.
Nice.
Yeah.
It wasn't my fault.
Exactly. He was rumored to be re-signing. At number 24, October 12th, 1998. Another Vince Steve moment. The filling of the Corvette.
Yes.
Number 23... November 23rd, 1991, episode of Superstars, when the snake bites Macho Man.
Should be a little higher, I think.
I think so, too. At number 22, SummerSlam 2000, when Shane dives off the stage and hits Steve Blackman. Number 21, one of your favorite moments, on the January 11th, 1992 episode of Superstars, the legendary heel turn of Shawn Michaels.
Yes.
When he throws Marty Jannetty through the barbershop.
I'm surprised that's not higher, too.
I know. I'm surprised, cause since Shawn's on everybody's good side. Number 20, WrestleMania X7, when Edge spears Jeff off the belt. Or off the when he was hanging with the tag titles at TLC 2. This is way too high. At number 19, July 14th, 2003 on Raw, when Kane sets JR on fire. That's stupid. Should've been.
Oh, my God! Oh.
Number 18, this one should have been very high. September 22nd, 1997, of course, the first Raw at Madison Square Garden.
Yes, Vince stunned. Obviously, gets stunned.
Yes, Steve's first stun of Vince. Number 17, June 24th, 2001, which I believe was the King of the Ring. Kurt and Shane... The match where, of course, Shane does not go through the window and almost splits his head open on the stage when Kurt tries to suplex him through the glass partition there, and he bounced off it and cracked his head open almost. At number 16, January 14th, 2008, when Jeff Hardy swantoned off the Titantron onto Randy Orton before their match at the Royal Rumble. At number 15. And this was what's on the cover of the DVD set. Number 15 from WrestleMania 22, when Edge spears Foley on the fire table. Number 14, September 28th, 1998, the night after Breakdown, when Stone Cold drives to the ring on the Zamboni. At number 13, you mentioned it earlier, July 17th, 1984, Piper hits Snuka with a coconut.
Mm-hmm.
Number 12. March 26th, 2001, WWE buys WCW. At number 11, the unbreakable Mae Young. So I imagine numerous Mae Young moments.
Maybe when probably when Bubba put her through the table, definitely.
Probably, yeah, and then gave birth to the hand. Now the top 10. At number 10, from the November 11th, 1999 Raw, and you mentioned the moment earlier.
Big Show's daddy.
Big Show's daddy when... When a boss man drives off.
You're a nasty bastard. Your mama said so.
And he drives off carrying the hearse. Number 9. The date says it all. November 9th, 1997. figured that'd be in the top three.
Yes, Montreal, obviously.
Montreal, the screw job. Number eight. I'm going to make you guess this one. June 12th, 2003. SmackDown.
The Big Show and Brock breaking the ring?
Yep, when the ring fell apart. Number seven, January 19th, 1998. Raw. Tyson and Steve.
Obviously.
Number six, and this is lame. June 11th, 2007. When Vince's limo blew up.
Yeah.
Stupid. Here's your top five. And let me tell you something. There is one in this top five that will make you very proud, my friend. It might actually make you emotional. I'm not kidding. Number five, Fully Loaded 98.
The Sable bikini.
Sable's handprints on her boobs, yes. Number four, and this is very special to me because it's the moment that made me a wrestling fan. January 4th, 1907. Joe Stecker and it was October 17th, 1983. Of course, Jimmy Snuka off the cage onto Magnificent Morocco. All right, my friend, are you ready? You're going to get emotional for this one. At number three on WWE's top 50 incidents in history, November 4th, 1996.
The Pillman Austin Gunn incident. One of the greatest.
That's right. I think that's on honor that an oh my god incident on WWF TV, you have to have at least one Pillman thing on this list.
Yes, no doubt.
So, number two, the Raw before WrestleMania 15.
Big Pun being on?
No. maybe for you. But no, that was, of course, when Austin drove up with the big Coors Light truck and doused the entire ring with beer. And number one, I would have probably put it on here. I probably would have put it here maybe 12 years ago, but I don't know if I'd put it now because it just got played to death. But obviously, the number one, oh my God, incident in WWE history, King of the Ring, 1998, when Taker threw Mick off the cell.
Yeah, it's hard to argue. I know it's been played to death, but...
It is hard to say. And you know what? Kudos to Mick for that moment. So, there's your top 50. And I'm actually pretty stoked about Pillman being at number three, because that is a pretty awesome moment.
Yes, I agree.
I think almost as good as Pillman and the gun actually in the house is when Steve beats the crap out of those two jobbers out in the driveway where he smacks the guy with the kiddie pool. My brother actually laughs out loud at that moment. I think that's
the wagon. Yeah, that's wagon. One of the greatest, definitely one of the greatest Raw moments ever.
Yes. Now, the matches on discs two and three. Disc two, Piper, here are the moments you get to see. Full moments. Piper gives the Haiti kid a haircut. Savage attacks Macho with the Cobra. The Rockers split up. The full Shawn Diesel title match from Good Friends, Better Enemies. Triple H Taker from Shotgun Saturday Night, which, by the way, was for the Intercontinental title. Steve stuns Vince on Raw 97. The Hell in a Cell match. Mr. McMahon's ceremony to crown a new champion, and that was the Raw in 98 where Steve drove in with the Zamboni. The beer bath from the Raw before WrestleMania 15. And then the Big Show Boss Man casket. And the Hardcore Championship match, Shane and Steve Blackman from SummerSlam 2000. And on disc three, the TLC 2 from WrestleMania 17, the Street Fight, Kurt and Shane from King of the Ring 01, Kurt's milk bath from that Raw, Steve beats up Booker T in the supermarket from SmackDown December 01, the full Brock Big Show match from SmackDown June 2003 when the ring breaks, Taker versus Dudley Boys from the 04 Bash. The highlight reel with Trish and Lita, Raw November 8th, 2004. Cena vs. Edge, New Year's Revolution, so they only show that little bit at the end. The hardcore match from WrestleMania 22. Mick and Edge when he puts him through the fire table. And finally, Mr. McMahon Appreciation Night, Raw, June 11th, 07, when the limo blows up. And if you get the Blu-ray, there's four extras. The Hardy Orton IC title match when Jeff Hardy jumps off the Titantron. The Cutting Edge with Jeff Hardy SmackDown January 16th, 09 when the pyro went off and almost killed him. The Triple Threat match from WrestleMania 25, Edge, John Cena, Big Show. And then finally the Viewer's Choice match, John Cena versus CM Punk, which of course led to the beginning of Nexus. So there's the Oh My God the top 50 incidents in WWE history.
Sounds like a pretty good DVD. I mean, you get a lot of moments. I don't know if it's one I'll rush out to buy, but...
No, I don't think it'll be one I rush out to buy either. It comes out on August 23rd. The two DVDs that are out currently that I definitely am going to get, one you already have, and that's the Best of Nitro, and the other is the Steel Cage Match DVD, which I'd like to get as well, only because I've heard that the Bruiser Brody Abdul the Butcher match from World Class in 85 is just absolutely sickening in terms of just absolute violence. That's when a lot of those other matches on that DVD I have, but having some of them on DVD quality wouldn't hurt. So
that's it. Yeah, I think
that's pretty good. Yeah, I think we cleaned our slate.
Yeah, I mean, we read through much of the feedback already. There was a lot of good feedback about the Survivor Series 90 podcast. Hopefully, you guys enjoyed Jeremy Nichols' appearance.
Yes, you did an excellent job. Excellent.
Yeah, and so I guess that's it, Scott. We'll wrap up. We're not gonna, like you said, we won't get into the baseball. And
no.
You know, we hope you enjoyed our kind of half-year retrospective. You know, we hope to kind of do a bigger show for the full year. But we just kind of wanted to get out there and wrap things up as it has been as of now. So we will be back later this week, though, with Royal Rumble 91. I'm looking forward to that show.
Yes.
One of my favorites.
My turn.
And then next week we'll have no shows, unfortunately. Well, fortunately for Scott Hill, he will be on vacation. So
yes.
He'll be away. So we'll have a week hiatus. And during that time, I think we'll end up, I'll throw up that thread maybe about giving us some ideas for our greatest moments and maybe some contest stuff. So I'll definitely keep things active on the Facebook page while he's away. May throw up some vintage links and stuff like that. So and then when Scott returns, we'll be up to WrestleMania 7, and we'll be back with the headlines. We'll wrap up Money in the Bank and start previewing SummerSlam. So.
And we got some we do have some great future interviews to line up as well. So we got a lot of stuff for the second half of the year. A lot of good stuff.
We got a very good one up next lined up, and that'll hopefully be mid to late August. So
yep.
Okay, so that's it for us. I am, as always, your co-host, Justin Rosero, and that is my PIC, Scott Criscolo. Until later this week, we will talk to you.
Peace.